Welcome to the Lisa Show's Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and I'm really excited that you're here. Thank you for joining us. And whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or BYU Radio, thank you for being here. We always feel here at the Council, the official Council of Moms, that we're stronger together than separate. I like to call the Council of Moms the Council of Moms, or as my kids like to call it, mom therapy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just surviving, how are we thriving? These are the kinds of questions that we talk about, just like you would talk about with your best girlfriends, where you just get together and say, yeah, but what do you really think? What should I really do, right? And we get into it. So today I want to introduce our council and Council of Moms. But before I do, I want to remind you that if you leave a review wherever you've listened, that really helps us get more eyes on the podcast and more ears listening, and helps us to be able to get a wider range of people to show and join into the conversation. And also, if you're on social media, take a moment to leave us a comment. Maybe you have a question for the council yourself, or you want to continue the conversation from something that you heard today. We would love to hear from you. In fact, all of the questions that we get for the Council of Moms comes from real life questions that I get either in the grocery store or walking around, out and about, or online. So we love hearing from you, and we love continuing that conversation, because a lot of these issues are ongoing that we talk about, just like motherhood. It goes on and on and never ends, ever. Not even for a second or a moment. Mm-mm. Just like the Council of Moms. Again, I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. I have five kids, ages, I had to think for a second, 16 to 26. I've been saying over and over again that it is, they're baby adults. Like, I can't say like they're all almost grown, you know? I have a 16-year-old and then all that are adults, but on varying levels of tethering to my heart and to my apron strings, right? It's not just the one apron string that you cut. It's just like a little bit, a lot of them, little by little. And anyway, I've said too much. Also with us on the council is?
My name is Liza Wolfgram, and I have two daughters, 24 and 19. And my 19-year-old, they're still teen at the end, so teen adult, baby adult. Yeah. But I'm in a whole different stage of life that I'm really just navigating and learning. Sounds like we're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
And it's definitely different. Definitely a different stage of life than when they were younger. So kind of feel like a new mom.
Yeah.
New old mom. Mothering a different way.
Mm-hmm. When they need you in a different way and you adapt, you're like, okay, this feels weird.
Yeah. So a new mom with young single adults. That's what it is.
I'm Katie Miller, and I have four boys ages 14 to 22. So also in varying stages of adulthood and figuring that out. Yeah.
Well, I'm the lone wolf over here. My name's Michelle Johnson, and I have three children, but my oldest is 12. She's almost 13, and then I have an 11-year-old and 8-year-old boys that are wild and are going to be lots of fun when they're teenagers. Yes.
Because they're lots of fun now.
Mm-hmm.
Never ends. So great.
They are. I love them.
Well, the question that we have today is kind of tricky, I think, because every family is different in how they like to talk or not talk about finances. Okay, so I'm going to get into it. The question is this. I live in a community where most of my friends are in different financial situations than me. We've been blessed as a family, but the people around me are in much more privileged situations, and their kids have a lot that my kids don't. How do I help my kids feel grateful for what they have, but also be able to make friends? And how can I help them connect with kids who are in worse situations than theirs? Kind of a big question, talking a little bit about finances. What would you say to this mom? What has been your experience?
I think when I hear that question, I don't ever really care to look at people's finances or status of where they're at. And when I'm teaching my kids to be grateful, because I just feel like it shouldn't make a difference whether somebody is poor, well-to-do. What they give is what they give. And you should be grateful for that. Like in my culture, I'm Tongan, it's a big deal to give. So like if someone is like, I like your necklace, I just take it off and give it to them. or I've had family come over and they're like, oh, I like your keyboard. I'm like, here it is, the piano keyboard. And so it's something that we give no matter what. And I feel like this is just with me, but like with my kids, when I teach them, I want them to learn to give their best and to not care. Like they should never be able to want to hold on to something that they're not willing to part with. Mm-hmm. And so me just personally, I feel like if, you know, teaching them how to give all the time and when they receive, then it won't really matter if it was from somebody that didn't have a lot or someone, or they feel like they didn't get enough from someone who did have a lot. It's more of the gesture of being able to see that kindness from somebody of just giving.
Yeah, so, like focusing on that.
Yeah, on just the giving part and just being really grateful for whatever they give. It doesn't need, if somebody has more, it doesn't mean they should always just give more. It's just like to just be grateful for what that person did to just give something. And I think if you teach them how to give, then they'll know how to also receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it depends so much too on how you were raised.
Yeah.
Like I appreciate you bringing up your culture and where it was, because I feel like in this question was kind of like how I was raised, like yeah, middle class. And I had a lot of friends who were like going on big fancy vacations and had boats and got a car when they were 16 and stuff like that. And I'd be like, hey, that looks pretty great. Mm-hmm. And my parents were like, we're fine. We're more than fine. I don't know. I think that initially when I have a question like that, I bristle a little bit because I think, first of all, in the United States of America, we're already in like the top 1% in the whole world. So let's like, you know, check our privilege. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can hear my kids rolling their eyes, like, but for real.
Yeah.
And having them travel to different places in the world or be more aware makes them grateful in a different way. But don't you remember what it was like, though, also to be like 14, 15, 16, and you're like, ugh, I just want the name brand shoes or absolutely, name brand, like just one time or something like that. And having that and being able to have those discussions where you're not like just immediately putting your kids down and being like, well, that's dumb because there are people starving and all over the, you know, like, and they think, yeah, I know, but I live here. And that little disconnect teaches you how, if your kid will come to you and talk about bigger issues as well. Mm-hmm. So you can't just brush it off. But that I'm revealing one of my weaknesses as a parent. I'm like, you're fine. You know, but that might not be the best way to start a discussion, right?
Yeah. I think as a parent, I mean, I think of me in that situation, I think it's so hard to be a teenager and to kind of constantly be looking for that validation or seeing something that you want that you can afford or your friends can afford. That's hard. That's tricky. But I think it's also as a mom, I think we have just a lot of power in the way we frame it. Like, how do we think about it? How do we think about the neighbors with more money or the neighbors with less money? And the way that we are embodying maybe an attitude of appreciation or just really loving the blessings and privileges and luck and health and all the things that we have regardless, mm-hmm, really does kind of like seep out. And it's really, it does teach them, it models to them. And I think it's good to just check ourselves first. And are we thinking it's more of a problem than it actually is sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe it's fine and maybe there are good things for them to learn, but like I can't control the other families going on vacation. Mm-hmm. I can't control the other families not having enough money to pay their mortgage. You know, we can give where we can give and we can be happy for people and the blessings that they have. And we can try to find as much awe and wonder in our own situation. And hopefully some of that rubs off, like, you know, like a little bit rubs off. Yeah. I don't know.
But I love the idea that we set the tone for it too. Because I think you can swing it the other way too and be like, well, they think they're so much better than that. I'm like, no, you don't know what they're thinking. Like now you're in their head. Like, you know, like you can also be like, well, yeah, we're better because somehow we suffer more or whatever. And you're like, well, that's not true either. So it is sort of a tricky thing of, I think what you say, they listen.
Yeah.
And they kind of sort of adopt the attitude like, well, what team are we on? What do we what do we say in this situation? They kind of look to you.
And I think that's what I was referring to with what you're saying is just how we looked at it, how we saw it differently. Like, not that it shouldn't be a question, but if that's the question, then I feel like I'm focusing on that. You know what I mean? Like I'm focusing on, well, they have more.
Focus on,
yeah,
though.
Like they have more, they have less. And so I totally agree with you that it's really just how you want to approach that and how you want to take that on. Because I know that, like, being from being from another country, I'm still raising my kids in this country though.
Yeah.
And I'm still merging the two.
Yeah.
And so I still have to go about it with the good that I see in all of it, in all the countries and all that. And I've sent my kids around to all different countries too. And I still see that whatever someone, like, it just shouldn't be focused so much on, maybe you should just teach your kids to not want to just focus on the worldly things, and focus more on the things that matter, like the value of the person and mm-hmm. the kindness of what they are. Because if we change that question, then they'll probably see, it doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, they'll see like the person and maybe the kindness that they're showing.
I agree with that. But I also, like, going back to your point, Lisa, of like validating, like, it's okay to want a name brand something, but let's work for it.
Yeah.
Something my brother always says is when his kids ask him for something, how have you earned it? And it makes him really think. And my little, like, 4-year-old niece came up to me the other day and was like, you could have a pool in your backyard. We were playing in my backyard. I was like, yeah, but it's a lot of money. She goes, well, I can earn it and make a pool in your backyard. And it was just really cute for her to be like, oh, like, I can do these things and earn this money. But also, for me, I've been in that position. My siblings are very well-to-do and go on the big vacations, and they've gone to Africa and Thailand and all these places. And me and my family were, you know, I'm a nurse in Utah, so, and you can assume it, we're not as well-to-do, but we're blessed, obviously. Like, we are fine, but it's hard to separate that and to, I don't know, when your kids are like, oh, well, they got to go to Africa and next year they're going to Costa Rica. Where are we going? Like, well, we're going to St. George to visit Grandma Joe and Papa, you know, but I don't know.
And it's interesting that the question is tied up in making friends too. I thought that was interesting. Like, I see all this discrepancy, you know, she's saying around us, different financial situations. So I want them to know that they are privileged in their situation, but if they're trying to make friends, how do you sort of associate that? And I really feel that we can teach our kids to be leaders of, yeah, as far as, you know, other people are going to take your lead on how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your family situation. And if you're embarrassed, they'll be able to tell. If you're confident, they'll be able to tell. You know what I mean? Like, that you can make that separate and from making friends, and that there is value in making friends that are different than you are, especially in different socioeconomic situations. And that could be one of your family values. I think that I would also, you know, want to talk about that as well. I think that's an important part of, like, when you're teaching kids, well, what does that mean when someone makes another choice? You know, I had a friend who, when her kids would be like, can I have this? Can I have this? And ask for things like kids do at the grocery store, at the mall or whatever. And instead she stopped saying, we can't afford that. And she started saying, it's not in the budget.
Yeah.
It's not in our budget. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because it's kind of like to what you're saying of, like, you know, we can all make money in different ways and just way longer to afford certain things. So it's not like, but we all make choices too about how we spend their money. And I've had a lot of conversations with my, especially as my kids get older, about, like, the trade-off of, like, yes, we could earn more money by having different kinds of careers than their late father chose or that I chose. It's not like we didn't know that. Yeah. But also what we weren't just considering money when we were choosing careers. We were also looking at what we were good at, what we wanted to do, what we thought would make a contribution, you know. And I talk, I go through the whole thought process of choosing how you live your life. And finances are very important, but they're not the only thing, too. And I think taking a step back, those two things have made me feel like a little bit more empowered to go to my kids of like, and you can make your own choices, mm-hmm. too, based on how you want to weigh that.
I like what you're sharing it with them, right? If you kind of kept that all to yourself, they're not going to really learn any of that, yeah. right? And so yeah. they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know a lot of its choice, a lot of its choices of, you know, like, especially as a mom, you're weighing out a lot of things. Like, sometimes it's just flexibility you want. Sometimes it's finance you want. Yeah. Like, there's just a lot of different things that you're wanting as a mother. So I think what you said is really important, that we're sharing that with our kids to help them understand, like, you have choices, and each choice kind of leads to different, you know, different ways of how it plays out. But if you chose that, this is what it's going to be. And are you okay with that? So I like that you have shared that with them, because now they're empowered as baby adults, right?
Right.
But now they have that in their head, mm-hmm. and they at least are, I think they're so much further ahead as a baby adult than they would have finding this out at like our ages.
Right? Yeah. Because don't you always hear about people like if they've in extreme poverty, they're like, okay, education and get a good career because they didn't have like, and they're maybe more focused on money. I think sometimes if a lot of people have had money, then they think about like their decision making is based on other things as well, because mm-hmm. they can take that for granted as well. Like, I mean, everything affects it all, right? I just think that's really fascinating. And I grew up with my parents saying, like, my dad would tease my mom and say, well, your mom wanted 5 kids. I wanted a lot of money, you know, like, but she won or whatever, you know, and it was the ha-ha, the family joke. We could have had nice things, but we decided to have you kids instead, which is like a roundabout way to say, like, we chose to have you, we wanted to, but also you guys are really expensive.
And really quick, that makes me rethink that question a little bit more, what you just mentioned, because maybe that mom doesn't maybe if that mom took a minute to kind of think about it, she doesn't really know what those other parents, like, maybe they wanted to buy them shoes. Like, maybe that was their goal, right? Is to get them all name brand stuff. You know, like, we don't know what everybody's focus is.
Or like, financial security. Yeah. Or maybe they were never helped. They had no help. Like, yeah. I've had friends who were like on their own, like had to pay for everything yeah. at like 12 or 14. Mm. You know, they made, you know, and yeah, maybe they totally. Didn't want their kids to have to worry about that. Exactly. And so it's so easy to judge, but you just don't know.
Yeah, you just do you, kind of. Yeah, you absolutely. Just take care of you and your family, because you don't know what everybody wanted. Mm-hmm. Like you said.
And you don't always get what you want, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I sacrificed a lot of years and time and stuff to invest in my husband's career for a lifestyle change. Didn't work out. But I don't regret it mm-hmm. because of the kind of life that we were able to create, like with kids and having interesting careers and things like that, that were tailored to us. It was still fun along the way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep, totally.
But it would have, my career path would have been a nightmare for other people. I mean, and it's really true. I only laugh because I'm thinking of some friends who are like, oh, I would never choose that. And isn't it great that we're all different? That's okay. And some of the things that we're good at don't really make a lot of money, which is fine.
To your point about not judging, we don't know. We could have a very seemingly well-off neighbor who's like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, or
that's
like
true
you have
too.
No idea.
Yeah,
no
you don't idea. Have any idea.
We've been, I mean, our financial life over the years has been like really vast and varied. And, you know, we've been on food stamps, and we've been doing really well, and we've rented, and we've owned a home. We just have like seen the spectrum of the financial, like, you know, spectrum. And you just never know. You just never know. And people could be living in really dire circumstances and never go on vacation and have money in the bank, and they're saving for college, and they're doing this. And it's just, I think it's a real, it comes back to that, like, when you frame it in your family and with your values, like, we really want to, you just don't know. And we want to try as hard as we can not to make assumptions. And we want to love people and get to know people for who they are, no matter the financial, you know, and you can make friends in all the different places. And you're going to find value in all those different places. And there might be uncomfortable situations, because for every like privileged neighbor that you're living next to, you are the privileged neighbor. They're like,
I know, it's so weird.
This is so someone is looking at you being like, oh, I wish I had you know, what you have. So, yeah, I just don't think there's any way to actually, like, comment on or any, like, clear pathway to guide your kids to, like, you know, do this, say this, don't be friends with this person, be friends with this person, right? It's really just like, what are our values? We're just going to stick to this. We're not going to make assumptions and do the best you can. I don't know.
What role do you think that gratitude plays in talking about finances? We want our kids to be ambitious. We want them to be able to support themselves someday and maybe help out some other people too. But we also want them to be happy where they are right now too. So what, how do you teach that?
I'm grateful for finances. I'm grateful for money that's received. I'm grateful that you're able to work, right? I'm definitely grateful for that. But one thing like with my family, I noticed with my girls is when they started getting a job, they started like at a very young age. They had heard about their dad when he was younger. He would just work and give up his whole check to his mom. And so it was just a story that they knew. But when my oldest was very young and started working, she started just like bringing her whole check and just giving it. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, just like to give that and not to be so tied to it. And I was like, I wonder how that's going to affect her as she gets older. And she's older and she'll still try to show up and just like give it all. And I'm like, no, it's good. We take care of ourselves. But I think it's like, it's okay to be grateful for the money you receive and grateful for the work. But I find the gratitude in her being able to like, she got it and she felt like it's good to pass it along, even though she didn't have to. So I think to me, that's how I see they kind of go hand in hand, is grateful that she was able to have it, but also grateful that she could provide it if needed.
Wow.
For me, I am just so grateful that I am capable of holding a full-time job and providing for my family, because my husband is, he has a lot of chronic illnesses, which prevent him from working, which is fine. The Lord really works in mysterious ways, right? When our kids were 5, 3, and 1, I felt so strongly I needed to go back to school. I had a bachelor's in biology, but what do you do with that? So I went back to nursing school, and about halfway through my program, my husband got even more sick than he was and had to stop working full time. And so, like you said, we have been at that place where we're using food stamps, and our bishop was helping us with our rent because we just had nothing and we had no income at that time. And then I was able to graduate my nursing program and get a job. And here I am. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity and that I enjoy what I do. And that I've been able to show that to my children, as my daughter will make comments like, oh, I want to do really good in high school and get really good grades. I can go to really good college and get a good job like you. And just like, so I think that she is grateful for the example that I've been able to provide for her, but also I'm the example that my father was able to provide for me. So.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I think gratitude, I think if you're looking for all of, for like wonder and awe and beauty and joy in your life, and you're doing that in the mundane and in the big and in the beautiful and in the tiny and in your life, and that's your focus, is on like living in that kind of Thanksgiving feeling, not like all the time because that's weird, but enough that it brings joy and happiness to like a portion of your day or your week. I just think that trickles into money. I don't think it's necessarily even
so
like
fascinating.
Be grateful and also ambitious, but content. I just, when you live that way and you are that, and you're grateful and you're walking around seeing the ways that your privilege, luck, blessing, health, all of these things, I just think it kind of comes into your finances as well. And I will I will be like, for years when we didn't have a washer and dryer and I had to drag three kids and, you know, loads of laundry down the stairs and across, you know, and walk to the laundromat, and laundry was like all day. Like, yeah. I love my washer and dryer. I like still, I'm just like, this is so great. I don't have to wash my clothes in a river. I just like, yeah. I love my washer and dryer. That comes from, you know, that time still. And I just think when we're living in that just attitude, at least at like part of our day, then I think it trickles into that, and our kids see it and they feel it, and they feel us genuinely being happy, like genuinely just being happy with our life. And then you can have discussions about finances and budget and saving and priorities and things like that. But I don't know. Yeah, I think it like seeps in everywhere.
I agree. I think it's beautiful. And we all know, we've heard the statistics, if you make a certain amount of money and your happiness doesn't increase the more you, like, but we have that assumption. But we all know what it's feeling like if you have like if you're living with an attitude of scarcity or abundance, you know? And I really do think, I love that you brought up that, all three of you brought this up individually about how like the moms set the tone for that, and they listen. So we've run out of time. We could talk about this for like, but I'd love to give everybody an opportunity to have like a final word on this idea of finances or gratitude, of what, you know, you would leave for this lasting question. And I'll just say that the last thing that I will say is that I have found that I just am very clear with my kids of, I am so grateful for this home. Do you know how lucky we are to have our own home? I will say like things like that, or I'm so glad that I have this great job. Like I will explicitly say it and just leave it at that and just keep it simple. And then they'll never have to wonder what I think.
Yeah, I like that. I just think gratitude is love. They both really go hand in hand. And I think when you're grateful for things, you have love for people. Not grateful for things, but when you're grateful, love lives there too. And so I would just say that, just know they go hand in hand. And I think you find the joy through that. Like what you're saying is, you find peace, you find joy and happiness because you realize they're one of the same.
I think it's pretty normal to not feel grateful or to compare and to constantly, like, we're wired for safety and protection, not to enjoy our lives and not to be grateful. It kind of is like a swim upstream to recognize these things and to live in that love and awe and wonder and gratitude. And as I make the effort, it's like, I'll just say this really quick. When we moved into our house, my husband was like obsessed with our view. He loved it so much. And so for the first couple of months, we would find him like on the deck, just being like, it's so beautiful, you guys. It's so cool. Like with his camera, he just was like, we would just find him sunset, sunrise, like it did any time of the day. He would just be out there and always like, just, okay, come look at this. There's a fox down there. You know, like he was so into it. And it was so contagious. Like all of us then all of a sudden were like, there's this super valuable thing about our house. None of us really knew. And he's like showing us this really amazing thing. It was just so contagious. And all of us, it didn't take long before all of us were like, look at the clouds right now. Everybody has to come here. Drop what you're doing. I mean, it was so silly. We still love the view. But it just was like this contagious feeling of wonder. And he wasn't like, you should all be grateful for this view. You should all sit down and write three things of why this view is amazing. You know, like it wasn't like, you need to feel this. It was just so like coming out of him, how much he loved this. And it was like in his eyes, he just lit up with it. And so I think about that, like, what are they seeing my eyes light up with? What are they seeing me just be so excited about and love and be grateful for and be appreciative of? And hopefully that's contagious to them too. So
yeah. I love that. And I would totally agree with you that gratitude, and I think along with gratitude goes optimism, right? Mm-hmm. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice that you make every day. And, you'll hear people talk about, oh, she's just so positive all the time, or like, is she just grinning and bearing it, or is she putting on a front? But I think for me, no, it really is a conscious choice that I'm making every day, because that's how I want to live my life. That's how I want my children to live their lives too. And right now we're looking for new leadership in our nursing unit. We do labor and delivery. It's a fun unit, but sometimes it gets a little negative. And I think that if we can circle back and remember and remind that these nurses and these people that we work with, like, this is a really awesome job that we get to do. And, like, be grateful for the coworkers that we have and the culture that we've built at our hospital has just been amazing. So it's a conscious everyday choice to be grateful and to show that.
I love it. I think it's so great. Thank you for joining us on the Council of Moms. I love our takeaways about, you know, comparison with our financial situation or with making friends. I just even just now have just feel so much more connected and have so many other ideas for my own life, you know, and my own kids. And I think that's sort of what the magic of, you know, having your own Council of Moms is. So thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing with us. And thank you for joining and listening. And remember to like and follow, subscribe, all the things that all the people tell you to do. We need them as well so that we can add to our Council of Moms. And again, please feel free to leave a comment or your own question to the council on Instagram or Facebook or on YouTube. We read every single message. Thank you. And we will see you next time.